Just Chitty the Podcast, presented by Just Chitty Productions.
Hi there. I'm your host, Fondue.
I'm Chitty.
We're going to discuss the cheese trade between Britain and Canada.
Brexit.
And we're going to hear about a very old food bank donation.
Ooh.
We talked Cheez-It history.
Ooh.
Cheez-It hairdo.
Wow.
S'mores.
What?
Mascot. And a Cheez-It rest stop.
Okay.
And of course, no episode would be complete without our very cheesy joke.
I love a joke.
Stay tuned for episode 115, Chexit.
Chexit.
On Just Cheesy, the podcast. Now, we here at Just Cheesy the Podcast are from the United States,
yep.
So we're not extremely familiar with all of the inner workings of politics abroad.
Nope.
And according to Wikipedia, Brexit is the withdrawal of the United Kingdom from the European Union, and that took place on January 31st of 2020.
Okay.
According to BBC.com, there's a potential trade issue with the UK and Canada over cows, cars, and cheese.
What?
On the cow front, it appears that Canada's government has been pushing for the UK to relax a ban on hormone-treated beef.
Okay.
The article also goes on to say that beef farmers in the UK are already facing a lot of competition from New Zealand and Australia.
Whoa.
And apparently, this is not the first time that beef has been a sticking point for their trade relations.
Really?
Canada's farming industry previously voiced its frustration to the government, saying that its meat is severely disadvantaged under a post-Brexit interim agreement with the UK.
Whoa.
And as for cars, according to this article, the UK's biggest goods export to Canada is cars.
Oh, boy.
They say there are no significant imports of Canadian-manufactured cars into the UK. So this would primarily impact Canada.
Okay.
Because there could potentially be really high import taxes.
Whoa.
Well, cheese didn't make it out unscathed.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, the UK is Canada's fifth largest supplier of cheese.
Whoa.
But a 245% tariff has been placed on UK cheese exporters since the start of 2024.
Holy cow.
British cheese exports to Canada were worth 18.7 million
Whoa.
British pounds, or 2.4% of the total cheese exports in 2022.
Holy cow.
And they say that translates to a little more than 2 million kilograms of cheese from the UK, which is Canada's fifth largest supplier.
Whoa.
The British firm Coombe Castle International is the largest UK cheese exporter to Canada, and about a third of their cheese goes to the country.
Ooh.
Its sales and marketing director told the BBC that it was pretty gutted that the talks had been suspended.
Yeah.
Because they had been exporting cheese to Canada since 1980.
Whoa.
And as for the Canadian Cheese Council of Canada, they represent small and medium-sized cheese importers and their suppliers. And they say that cheese exports, including cheddar, are mainly to other countries and that the UK is not in its top 10 markets.
Wow.
Afram Pristine, who owns the cheese boutique in Toronto, told the BBC that cheese from the UK is popular.
Yeah.
And in December, he sold about 250 kilograms or 550 pounds of cheese every day.
Whoa.
It sounds like Brexit is really difficult for both Canada and the UK.
Yeah.
I hope they get their cheese situation worked out.
Good luck.
The Cheese Boutique in Toronto is not a sponsor.
Nope.
But if it was, the ad would go right here. Have you ever wanted to listen to the web?
Yeah.
Well, Newsly makes that possible.
They do.
They're an all-in-one audio super app for iOS and Android.
Super app.
You can listen to trending articles on the web on topics that you choose and get them read to you in a natural human voice.
What kind of topics?
Sports,
cheese?
Tech, business,
cheese.
Science.
Cheese.
I'm sure there's even cheese.
Yay.
They even have an entire section for podcasts.
Are we there?
Of course we are.
Ooh.
It's one of my new favorite podcast apps. They even have digital radio.
Holy cow.
Just go to www.newsly.me to download it free.
Whoa.
Or use the link in the description. If you use the promo code Cheesy,
Cheesy,
that'll get you 1 month free premium subscription.
Yay, Newsly.
Now, back to the podcast. It's time for my favorite segment.
This week in cheese.
According to themessenger.com, there's a food bank that actually had to say no to something that was donated.
Why?
According to the article, they talked to the food supply manager who said that sometimes they actually get some stuff that's a few years out of date.
Oh.
But this particular food bank in the UK has asked people to be a bit more careful when donating because they received a jar of Uncle Ben's gratin Dauphinoise, I don't know if that's how you say it.
Probably not.
Cheese and onion sauce for potatoes. And the expiration date on this jar goes all the way back to June 9th of 1998.
What?
And they say it was already past its sell-by date when the movie Titanic was in movie theaters. Cheez-Its have made the show a few times in the past.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've actually talked about their history.
Have we?
And at this point, in 115 episodes, we may have. And I've forgotten.
Right, me too.
In any case, according to Wikipedia, Cheez-It crackers began in 1921.
Whoa.
And this is when Whiston Green founded the Green and Green Company in Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
The company produced baked snack foods such as Dayton crackers, graham crackers, ginger snaps, and during World War II, hardtack.
Okay.
In 21, Green introduced Cheez-It crackers, commonly called Cheez-Its, as a new product.
Okay.
The company marketed the cracker as a stoned rarebit, and this was a reference to a dish of melted cheese over toast.
Oh, okay.
In 1932, the company was acquired by Sunshine Biscuits.
Okay.
And then Sunshine Biscuits was acquired in 1996 by Keebler.
Okay.
And in 2001, Kellogg's acquired Keebler.
Whoa.
But Keebler and Kellogg weren't the big names that they are today back in the early 20th century.
Really?
According to SmithsonianMag.com, Dayton was hailed as the city of 1,000 factories.
Whoa.
And Dayton was actually considered a big place for crackers. In 1841, Dr. William Wolfe moved to Dayton, and he practiced homeopathy, a branch of alternative medicine.
Really?
He believed in the healing power of food.
Okay.
He created the Wolfe cracker, which was a hard butter snack made for medicinal purposes.
Really?
Back in Wolfe's day, the crackers were linked to Christian, physiology, and sectarian medical practitioners.
What?
People like Sylvester Graham of Graham Cracker fame, well, they were concerned about the modern diet and that it contained too many stimulating substances.
Whoa.
Both Wolfe and Graham had concerns that food was far too rousing.
Whoa.
And they wanted to churn out wholesome snacks.
Okay.
This article says, and I quote, "They believed there was too much nourishment per food unit in modern bread. And too much excitement."
Wait till they try cheese.
"They recommended grain products made from coarse flour, which they believed contained a more natural ratio of nourishing and non-nourishing parts."
Ooh.
Crackers were considered health food.
They were.
Fast forward to the 1870s and we've got Weston Green.
Okay.
Green liked the buttery, nut-like flavor of Wolfe crackers.
Sure.
And in 1897, Green purchased the Wolfe Bakery Company.
Okay.
And changed the name to the Dayton Cracker.
Oh, wow.
Green and Green expanded and they delivered all over Southern Ohio.
Whoa.
And then World War I broke out, and they used their ovens for the war effort.
Oh, wow.
They say it wasn't as tasty, but the Dayton fighting bread sustained countless soldiers during World War I.
Whoa.
These crackers were made from salt, flour, and water. Hard bread, also known as hard tack, or teeth dullers.
Ooh.
Or jawbreakers.
Oh, my.
They were often soaked in water before serving.
I guess.
And according to the article, if they were stored improperly, they would actually have weevils and maggots inside. And the soldiers dubbed them worm castles.
Ew.
And those crackers were made for about 80 years.
Whoa.
But they said that people really wanted a more delicate, flakier treat.
Yeah.
So in 21, they unveiled the baked rarebit, which was known as the Cheez-It.
Yum.
And as they say here, the Welsh rarebit at its most basic form was essentially cheese sauce spread on toast.
Yeah.
And even today, Cheez-It still advertises 100% real cheese.
Whoa.
Which they say draws a connection to its rarebit roots.
Wow.
They say when it's baked down into a Cheez-It, it becomes a tasty treat. And just like hardtack, if you store it correctly, it'll stay for a long time. And you don't run the risk of it growing weevils.
Ew.
The original Cheez-It packaging was green and white.
Oh.
And in the 30s, red was introduced.
Okay.
And by the 40s, the box included the iconic red and yellow colors.
Whoa.
According to dailymail.co.uk, Rommel Keaton, he actually had something kind of cool done to his hair.
Really?
He signed a deal with the Toasted Crackers brand, and, you know, he said he was already feeling the cheesiest, so he had a Cheez-It square shaved and dyed into his hair.
Whoa.
And he debuted the new haircut in his Instagram story. And it looks pretty much like a Cheez-It.
Yeah, it does.
According to ca.sports.yahoo.com, Cheez-Its can be used to make mini s'mores.
Whoa.
They say here you'll get a one-bite dessert that's easier and less messy to handle than a full-size s'more.
Yeah.
They recommend using mini marshmallows.
Oh, yeah.
And individual squares of chocolate to better fit the Cheez-It squares.
Ooh.
They say you can make the s'mores just like you normally would, like
yeah.
on a campfire by roasting a marshmallow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or you can actually use the Cheez-Its, melt the chocolate, and you can heat them in the oven.
Yummy.
According to BuzzFeed.com, there was something called the Pop-Tarts Bowl,
okay.
and they had an edible mascot.
Oh, wow.
So not to be outdone, Cheez-It also had a mascot for their bowl game.
Sure.
Except they had a different message that the Cheez-It mascot did not want to be eaten.
Yeah.
And if a cracker being a mascot isn't a little bit silly,
yeah.
well, this definitely is. According to Fox10Phoenix.com, back in 2023, there was a rest stop, and it was dubbed the biggest, cheesiest roadside attraction ever to grace America's beloved highways.
Whoa.
And it was coming to a highway in California.
Okay.
The rest stop was open for 1 week only and built specifically for Cheez-It lovers.
Holy cow.
It came with a first-of-its-kind fill station, the Cheez-It Pump, which pumped a stream of Cheez-It bags right into your car window.
Oh, that's cool.
They had aisles stocked with everything like nostalgic Cheez-It Stop collectibles, cheesy merch, and a variety of Cheez-It flavors.
I'm ready for a joke, fondue.
Okay. Why did the Cheez-It go to school?
Why?
It was a way to get a little bit sharper.
Oh, good grief.
Get it? Way sharper?
It was not funny.
I know you may not have found it funny,
nope.
but it was definitely a little bit cheesy. Thanks for listening to Just Cheesy the Podcast,
Thank
episode
you.
115, Chexit. We're hoping you take the opportunity to listen to some of our older episodes
yeah.
as we approach a landmark 20,000 listeners.
Holy cow.
Thanks for being a loyal cheese ball.
Stay cheesy, everybody.